This matter, State of Washington versus Sarah Huffman.
Good morning, Your Honor. Stephen Smith, I represent the appellant petitioner, Ms. Huffman. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes if I might. Thank you. It's not often I'm here, but it's a pleasure to see you. The circumstances of this case, as you obviously read, would be a traffic stop that occurred on Highway 9 as Ms. Huffman is traveling southbound. Highway 9 is a two-lane roadway. I would say, if you've not been on it, it's a high-traffic roadway. At this time, 11:45, not such high traffic time period as the record shows. Ms. Huffman's driving south. The trooper Everly pulls in behind her. It's a two-mile trip south to the intersection of Highway 2. We've probably been to that location on other times. But suffice it to say, as she's traveling south, her vehicle is weaving within the lane. Undeniable. It's also undeniable that the basis for this
There was evidence that the... She's driving down the road. She's weaving in the road. She approached the center line three times,
jerked the
wheel back, and finally crossed the center line.
Yes, sir.
Why wouldn't that be reasonable and articulable grounds to stop her to investigate a traffic infraction or a DUI even?
Excellent question. And so we hearken to Terry. We look at Kennedy. We look at the other progeny of cases that would suggest, does this support an argument of reasonable suspicion, a Terry analysis? The trooper, at that moment in time, had been on the roadway 4 months. Counsel, in the motion question at Q&A, endeavored to go down that pathway with him, and he did not articulate that he suspected that behavior to formulate a basis. He said,
does it matter whether or not the police officer suspected it? Isn't that a legal question? It's a question for the judge to decide whether or not the facts were sufficient to establish a reasonable ground?
Yes, sir. The trial court looked at that and said, I don't observe that to be an infraction. The trooper didn't observe it to be an infraction. The moving close to the center line, the trooper didn't find that to be an infraction, under which the basis, trooper's testimony and the record, suggests that his only basis for making that stop was the crossing the center line. So I hope I'm responsive to Your Honor. I would suggest
whether or not the trial court considered the totality of the circumstances. Though, I mean, the trial court seemed to look specifically at the weaving in the lane and said that was insufficient, and then looked at crossing the line and said that was insufficient. I'm wondering if you put them together, why wouldn't that be sufficient?
I don't disagree with Your Honor. I think we have to give consideration under Terry to the training and experience of the trooper. In this instance, he did not utter forth that I had any suspicions that would elevate this into a community caretaking, a DUI stop. His sole focus was that of an alleged infraction being committed in front of him. And so that's my response, Your Honor. If the trooper were...
You wanted to get to the statute, so...
I'm sorry, Your Honor. Thank you.
So go right ahead.
Under the circumstances, what we've got is an indication that this is a de minimis violation, and I use that term to focus, if we can, upon the former Prado decision. And we, of course, know that Prado dealt with 140, Section 4664.
So why does it apply to 100?
Specifically, Your Honor, it does because of, and it's not my conjured notions of.
This is a valid question. You're not the only one who's ever made this argument.
I would direct the court's attention. I would direct your attention, Your Honor, to 46. Bear with me. 4698020, and by that I'm suggesting, and that's a statute that's at the end of Title 46, and it says that all of these sections are to be taken in pari materia, and these notions of pari materia are novel to me. I mean, they came to my attention within the last week. I'm going, I'm not a Latin guy, nor was I a brain surgeon in college or high school, but what it does suggest to me is that these things are to harmonize with one another. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially what I said in my argument opening brief, and try to fortify that in my response. But to harmonize, you and I both know that we're not driving down railroad tracks. We're not driving perfect vectors. our hope would be that the carnage on the highways would someday diminish to where vehicles are going to be controlled, and I think we're on the cusp of that. But at the moment in time, perfect vectors are a dream. And so under those circumstances, this de minimis violation, that being said, this does not amount to a probable cause determination for purposes of a stop.
Why isn't there harmony in saying center lines are different than just other plane lines?
I would agree with Your Honor fully. The circumstances at this moment in time, that being no traffic flow coming at them, the allowance for movements across centerline under Section 120, the passing statute, the other exceptions that exist, notions were present in the legislative enactment under the Uniform Traffic Code, as well as our legislature. And so direct response, it's a risk analysis. If you or I are troops following this car down the roadway and there are multiple cars coming, it might be on the weave that we would say this is adequate, and we'd be arguing another point. It might be on the first or second proximity to the center line, but there were no cars. And so the threat to the community was de minimis, particularly under a circumstance where at 55, she's traveling 80 feet a second, and the trooper says, car length. And so this is truly a de minimis, perhaps a third of a second or less, with this six-inch violation. And so under the circumstance you drew my attention to, I'd say you or I would probably stop if we were troopers, if there's more traffic coming down. And so it wasn't present under these circumstances. I think I've used my time. I'll stand down momentarily. Thank you, sir.
Actually, you still have 2 minutes.
You
still have 4 minutes. Actually.
Okay.
So keep going.
I'll keep going. The practical reality also is the trial court looked at these circumstances as well and said, gave consideration to Section 100, gave further due consideration to your ruling on Prado, and said, I just don't see it here. And I'm asking you to endorse the trial court's ruling in that matter.
Well, I look at this 100.
And yes, sir.
It seems to set forth specific exemptions when it's okay to cross the center line.
Yes, sir.
And it doesn't include the as reasonably as practicable or whatever the language is in 140. It doesn't include that language, and so there's not some specific exception that allows some meandering over that center line. And I don't see any other statute that is at odds with that.
Yes, sir.
At odds with that language.
My response, and it's a valid inquiry, and I think it is that doctrine under parimateria that I cited earlier, is they have to be taken into consideration to bring them into harmony, because we're not just talking about 140. We've heard, and I know you've heard, the fog line violation. And as we move farther left, we'll all agree the risks inherent of moving farther left to center line and beyond exponentially increase. And so that would be somewhat of a, forgive the term, a legalistic interpretation. But I'm not asking for that. I'm saying we have to take all these together, and with the notions of vehicles not being capable at this moment of not wandering. And so with that said, I think we have to harmonize the statutes, harmonize the fog line, harmonize the center line, and harmonize 140. And under those circumstances, as we all know, troops are going to use that Terry analysis, and they're going to balance the things that come forth or come to their attention. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the Court. John Joe for the State. In this case, Prado does not apply to Section 100. That was an error the trial court made. It used Prado analysis to that statute.
Why?
Why doesn't it apply? Prado addressed a
We know what Prado did. Why is this different? Why is 100 different than 140?
Because of the language in the two statutes. 100 well, does not include the nearly as practical language.
And but we've just heard about the parimateria. So how do you respond to that? You know, read the statutes together.
Yeah, and you read the statutes in there and total make sense of all of them. And when the legislature doesn't use language in one statute that it uses in another, there's a different intent. The legislature could have put that same language in every section, or it could have put a section saying in all statutes, and near as practical applies. It didn't. It chose to put it in Section 140. And it's important that when you read Section
140 that says that the limits it to fog line. It just says this is nearly as practicable within the lane. So why wouldn't that why wouldn't you read that to within the lane on either boundary?
And you could, except when you take Section 140 in its entirety, it's talking about lane travel and avoiding unnecessary lane changes or dangerous lane changes. That's why it has the language at the end that says you can move when it's safe to change lanes. It's talking about making lane changes. It's not talking about, just drive close to the lane. You know, as long as you're somewhere near it, we're not going to care. It's specifically talking when you're on the road, you're supposed to pick a lane and stay in that lane as nearly as practical. When you want to change lanes, then you look if it's safe. That's why Prado, which was a lane change case, was changing to an exit lane, the court looked at the safety factor. Was it safe to make a lane change at that point? So there was no safety violation, so it was a safe lane change. It was not saying that you can drift over your lane lines, and particularly drift over the center line, and it only becomes a violation to cross the center line if another car is there. Well, now we're getting seconds away from a head-on collision. I don't think the legislature was intending that drivers just have a general safety down the road or general direction. As long as you're heading north, that's good enough. We're not going to call it into question. The fact that the language isn't there shows the legislature's intent. Center lines are very different than lane lines. Lane lines, you are going to cross them. You are going to change lanes. When you get ready to exit and moving into the fast lane or the HOV lane, you've got to cross those lane lines.
But you cross the center line for any number of reasons as well. If you're passing a car or you're avoiding something in the roadway, there's lots of reasons to cross the center line.
Correct. And the Section 100 addresses those. There are the exceptions. You can cross the center line for the exceptions that you've listed. None of those were here. There was no obstruction on the road. There was no passing of another vehicle. This was a vehicle that was having trouble maintaining this lane, getting close and jerking back, and finally it drifts over, and the trooper said, at this point I'm going to stop them. There's something wrong. Either they're possibly intoxicated, they've had vehicle problems, they're drowsy. There's several possible explanations, and the officer can stop that for the infraction, or, as you say, so for a Terry stop. The officer's enough facts before an officer, he doesn't have to see an infraction to say, now I can stop the car. If the totality of the circumstances say something is wrong here, I'm going to stop and investigate that, the officer can do that also.
Did you seek discretionary review of the officer's, the trial court's, or the, I guess the Superior Court's determination on reasonable grounds?
No, we did not seek review on that. So we did not address that in this court.
So does that mean that you agree with the trial court's or the Superior Court's analysis?
No, in fact, in a footnote in my brief, I said that we feel that there can be grounds to stop a vehicle without an infraction. If you see a vehicle having difficulty maintaining its lane of travel, maybe some other factors, the officer can stop for that. He doesn't have to wait for an infraction to say, okay, there's a safety concern, but I got to wait for him to commit an infraction. If there's enough facts and a vehicle having difficulty maintaining its lane of travel, particularly if it's late at night, maybe they saw the vehicle pull out of a tavern. Those factors would all play into part that an officer could say, hey, there's a reason to stop this car. I'm going to find out what's going on. And the state's not conceding that an officer could never stop without an infraction. But in this case, the officer specifically cited statute for an infraction of crossing the center line that he observed. Those facts were not contested. They're verities. And here, the as nearly as practical language that appears in Section 140 does not appear in the center line. The legislature clearly had a separate intent, didn't want people crossing the center line. As I explained, the Section 140 Prado dealt with lane changes. You've got to cross the lane line when you change a lane. And simply that you touch that lane line, you can't say, well, it's an infraction every time you do that, you're going to cross. But that's why it has a separate language when it's safe. You have to first determine that it's safe to cross that. Change lanes, and if it's safe, then you may do that. Again, in the center line, there are exceptions. None of those apply here. There was no reason for Ms. Hoffman to be crossing the center line other than that something was affecting her ability to drive her vehicle. And the officer can stop for that infraction, which he did, and then the investigation proceeded from that into a DUI stop. The court has no further questions. I would ask you to affirm the Ralch Court's conclusion that Section 4661-100 controlled stop and affirm that decision. Thank you.
Right, thank you.
I'll endeavor to be very brief, Your Honor. Thank you. We would all acknowledge the overriding concern of the rules of the road, Title 46, is traffic safety. There is no evidence before the court of any unsafe behavior given this de minimis traffic violation. The further point that I would care to raise is without some legislative instruction to isolate 100, we have to harmonize that with 140 and 570. And so there has not been that type of instruction rendered forth. Therefore, it's not standalone. If it were, we would have had that instruction in Section 100. It's not standalone, and so we have to harmonize that with what we would commonsensically say. Vehicles don't travel in perfect vectors. Therefore, they're going to weave, strike that. They're going to wander, and they're going to cross center lines. They're going to cross lane lines. That was understood by the legislature when they used the language as nearly as practicable. That same language is found in the Uniform Traffic Code. So it was contemplated not only by our legislature, but by those crafters of the Uniform Traffic Code. And I would suggest that when we harmonize all of those, this de minimis lane violation is just that, a de minimis violation, and does not serve as a basis upon which Trooper Everly could effect his stop. Thank you.
Thank you very much.